What is going on, guys? It is the long absent Planeswalker, Travis, coming back with another episode in the new podcast called The Long Absent Planeswalker. And in this episode, we will be talking about phases of a turn. This has changed a lot since when I played back in the day. After my research and due diligence, I actually figured out that the way they taught me, even at the Magic the Gathering Friday nights tournaments and things like that, when a judge was there, they did it differently slightly than the previous rules would indicate. So what I mean by that is the phases of a turn have always been the same, but it wasn't until 6th edition where they really highlighted that there were two main phases. Now, back when I played, I used to go to a little shop called Jester's Court. It was 7 or 8 miles from me. And when I was, I think, 13 or 14, we would take the bus there and play on Fridays. And the judge at that particular one insisted, and I do remember this because I had a warning, a verbal warning, and it terrified me as a child, that when you have your untap, upkeep, draw, main phase, combat, in turn, well, you could do combat and then main phase, or main phase and then combat. That is how we were told to play. That's how I got my warning, because I tried to, I don't remember what I did. I think I tried to cast a creature before combat, and then I tried to cast a sorcery after combat, and I got a smack on the wrist and told I can't do that. So my playgroup back in the day followed those rules, and in my little world of Magic, even when I came back, I still played that way. And to be honest, nobody really brought it up because it wasn't really relevant. It was just how I played. I'm sure my opponents just thought I was unskilled, and they're probably right. But to be honest, it was just how I played. And now that I have studied more, I started playing back again in Ixalan and really started enjoying it. And the whole main phase combat, then second main phase, just blew my mind. I couldn't believe that I got two main phases. It just opened up a absolute world of possibilities, I thought, and still think. A lot of mechanics that are out, such as raid and things of that nature, make a post-combat main phase super relevant and a super strategy for the game. And I find it so fascinating because it has added another layer for me, and essentially always been there, but new to me, and it is a great thing. So for my returning planeswalkers, we all sort of know this already. So the phases of a turn are untap, upkeep, draw, main phase, combat, then you have your second main phase, then you have your instep. It pretty much breaks down to that. Now there are sub phases within there. Officially it is untap, upkeep, draw, first main phase, begin combat, declare attackers, declare blockers, combat damage, second main phase, end step, cleanup step. That's all of them in a nutshell. Now, the coolest part to me about the phases of a turn, and when you really dive into it and you start looking at these different phases, is if you play your phases correctly and your triggers correctly, it gives the person who knows that particular rule set so much power over your opponent if they don't. A good example is when you go in, and I'm just kind of freebasing it here, going off of the top of my head, but there's been many games where I've played with an inexperienced player, or we'll be at a Friday Night Magic and it's an inexperienced player, or someone who hasn't been playing long, or even someone who has been playing for a while. I can think of a couple instances where they just don't really care about the phases as much and the triggers. And so it's very frustrating can be on your end, but it's also very powerful, because when they go from their main phase to their combat phase, they can just swing sideways. So now you know you have a tell. You know exactly what they're going to be attacking with. But the thing is, they need to declare moving to attackers and give you, the defender, a chance to respond with any kind of instances or triggered abilities or anything like that. So if you have something that an instant that can tap down a creature, if they move to their attack phase and let's say they have four creatures on the board and they tap everything except for, you know, something to produce mana. You kind of have the feeling that they may be saving that guy, especially if you have nothing on your board or you have two defenders or something like that where you would potentially defend the biggest creatures attacking you. But let's say they decide to just turn sideways except for their mana producer, their mana dork. Well, now you know that for their second main phase, something may be coming. So you can say, hold up, I have a bounce spell, I have a fog spell, something like that. And you can just decide to fog, you can decide to bounce that mana dork in the example because you know, or they seem to be giving indications that they may need that for their second phase. So you have the power there by knowing the triggers and the phases of a step because you're in the right on that. So you can just say, hey, hold up. If you're moving to attackers, I am going to respond. I'm going to bounce your mana dork. And if they can get as mad as they want, they can call a judge. But it was their bad play that caused that. And that has allowed you to step in that entire instance, really take over the turn and turn something that could have been a very positive swing for them and a subsequent second main phase into you just set them back a whole turn. And that can completely change the dynamic of a game, change the pacing of the game, the tempo. And that's very powerful. So for my returning planeswalkers out there, I'd like to just say, learn the phases of a step. Don't be afraid of them. They have quote unquote changed, but the reality is they've always been the same. At least in my group, they never followed them like that, but I am a huge fan of them. So let's go over a little more in detail what the phases are. I'm going to be pulling from the comprehensive rule list, just taking a look, and any little thing about the phase, a phase, I will read out. That way we can kind of be on the same page. To me, as a returning player, this was something I tripped on quite a few times because I was that original person. In my previous example, I was the guy that would just turn sideways, and it took several sound beatings on Friday Night Magics for me to realize, hey man, you need to really learn these triggers and these declarations of phases, and you really need to follow them because that's the name of the game, is outwitting and having a better strategy than your opponent and winning. Of course, even in casual, there's a difference there. You're not trying to beat them out completely. You're not trigger happy with trying to just destroy the game. It's a casual, but with a Friday Night Magic and tournaments like that, you know, there is a higher level of competitiveness, and I think it's healthy for Magic. And I think all of us as returning players really will benefit from it. So, all right, enough of my going off on tangents here and kind of expounding on stuff I've already said. So the turn structure, it is the rules 500 general under turn structure and the comprehensive rules. If you guys wanted to go and download that from Wizards of the Coast, I highly recommend you do that as a side note, just because there are so many cool little things in here about rules that you never really think about. But once you know it, you can kind of exploit some things to really whoop some butt on games. So, all right, turn structure 500, we're under general. So as it states, there are five phases and they go in order. It's beginning, pre-combat, main, combat, post-combat, main, and ending. Now, as I said, there are some sub-phases in there where you do certain things during each of the phases. A cool thing to know and to think about is they all take place on every single turn. Even if you don't do something during that particular phase, let's say your second main phase, or let's say it's your turn and you go into immediately to combat, you pretty much skip your first main phase. It's still there, and you going from your main to combat does allow your opponent to react and get priority as you're switching phases and things like that. So it's something to consider, is those phases do take place even when you don't do it. So keep that in mind. So priority is a big thing. Of course, as the player whose turn it is, you get first priority. And then once priority is moved, like you do something, cast a creature, play a spell, something like that, priority does shift over to the opponent to respond. So do keep that in mind in the phases. Priority was not a big thing for me or my playgroup back in the day. It is definitely something to keep in mind these days. Priority plays a big part with the stack, which is another thing that was introduced that wasn't really relevant back in the day, but that'll be a future episode. But just keep in mind that there is priority. It is part of the phases, and whoever's turn it is gets priority first. And then once they have done a dibbly-doo or something, cast a spell, then the priority shifts to the opponent. Another tidbit on that is if you are playing Commander, normally would have a pot of four, the priority shifts based on going clockwise. So if I'm the second player, then the third player would be my first opponent. They would get priority next. So I cast, Goblin Chain Whirler. So in response, me being the second player, my first opponent, player three, would get priority to counterspell or whatever they wanted to do. Then it would go to the next opponent, player number three. They would get the next one, and then it would go to the fourth player, and then back to me. So essentially, priority goes in order. A lot of times during games, especially casual games, people will kind of act out of priority. Nothing wrong with that. It's not a competition or competitive game. It's not a tournament or something. But do keep that in mind if you're ever playing in a pod or like a CEDH, a competitive level. Things, little things like that will be more relevant. But for my returning players for this, just remember, as the opponent, if it's not your turn, you don't have priority until you can respond to something. So if someone casts something, they have to pretty much cast it and then relinquish priority to you. It's not a verbal thing, but if they're going to do something else on the stack with that, like activate another mana ability or a triggered ability on the stack, that has to go on the stack as well. And then you get priority. So they cast a creature, trigger goes on the stack from something that is an ETB from an enchantment. You know, you get a 2/2 zombie for every play a creature. Once you react, you're first in priority, but your spell would be third on the stack, the first to resolve, and then the other. It can get confusing. I understand that. So we'll keep it simple, and pretty much priority is the thing. I'll do an episode on that, but just keep that in mind. Now, another thing with the turn structure, when a step or phase ends, any unused mana left in the player's mana pool empties. There is not any more mana burn. It is gone. It was done away with. Mana burn effects aren't relevant anymore. If you tap out to cast a spell or something, that mana empties out if you move to your next phase. I'm trying to think of the enchantment, but it is a enchantment that you can select dragon or cons. And during your each of your main phases, I believe it is, you get 2 green mana. Well, if you have that enchantment, you're on your first main phase, green mana is in your mana pool. If you don't utilize that and then you go to your combat step, all of that mana drains away. So you no longer have that. That's something to keep in mind. Mana burn is gone and mana drains away on each phase of your turn. So just keep that in mind. Any enchantments you have or anything like that that produces mana during a certain phase, that all dissipates at the end of your phase. Now, there are a couple cards that allow you to keep the mana, but it has to specifically say this mana does not disappear at the end of turns and phases and such. So definitely keep that in mind, but that is something for the returning planeswalkers to really think about and understand. So when a phase or turn step begins, any abilities that trigger at the beginning of that phase or step are added to the stack. And again, the stack will go over some other time. Essentially, it's first in, first out. Like back in the day, it's just given its own mechanic. So that's essentially what the stack is first in, first out. But more things go on the stack than they used to. And there's other things like damage and stuff like that that is no longer going on the stack. So as they trigger at the beginning of, they are added to the stack. So there's what I mean by that is there's responses. So if you have an enchantment during an upkeep to draw a card, if an opponent has an ability, let's say a creature allows to mill, tap to mill a card or something like that, or one black, one color that's tapped to mill target player, that can go on the stack as well. If the player says, okay, my enchantment triggers, I'm going to draw an extra card, the priority will then shift to someone else to where they can react and say, okay, well, I will pay the 2 and tap to have you mill a card. This is really powerful if They tutored for the turn or something like that. You can do that. So keep that in mind. Now on to the next step. So essentially the first step is your untap, upkeep, draw, and then your main phase. So with the untap, upkeep, draw, that's your beginning phase of your turn. It's still rudimentary. You untap unless something has to stay tapped due to some other card or effect. Your upkeep, and then you draw. A big thing about upkeep, guys, is if you miss triggers for your upkeep, please put a quarter or something on top of your deck to remind you before you draw to do that. Now, a lot of the upkeep triggers say may. A lot of them have to happen, so they don't say may. It simply says do this during your upkeep. But the problem is if you forget a trigger, especially a may trigger, usually may triggers are more beneficial than automatic triggers during your upkeep and such. So put something on your deck or somewhere to remind you to do your upkeep. You should verbally be saying, okay, guys, it's my turn. I'm going to untap, upkeep, and then look across your board and see what your upkeep triggers are. Use those triggers. They, in and of themselves, they can completely change the tempo of the game and the outcome of a game. So big, big, big thing on that. I take a little glass bead or a die, and I set it right on my deck to remind me, my library, so that it reminds me that I have some kind of trigger before I draw. Another thing that I do, we'll get to the instep, but there are instep triggers too. If you have an instep trigger, do something to remind you. I usually like to put like a little post-it in between my opponent and myself. That way it's like a different color, like a pink or something bright, and it draws my attention, and that reminds me I have an instep trigger. So your triggers are super important. They can change the game. And the other thing with triggers for upkeep and stuff like that, if you forget them, and if your opponent forgets to remind you and it's not a may, it's something that has to happen, well, a judge will have to come over if you all of a sudden remember, and then they will have to decide how to handle that. I don't really have the paper in front of me of what they do, but essentially if they can do the trigger, it goes on the stack immediately and it resolves. But it can just be a hassle, and it can really affect how you played your turn. If you forgot to draw an extra card during your upkeep, well, what happens if you draw a card, you during your play, you're playing, someone kills one of your creatures, and when a creature goes to the graveyard, you have to mill three cards. Well, what if your next card was a Paradox Engine or a board wipe or something major? Well, now it's a turn or two later, and all of a sudden either you or an opponent remembered, oh, dang, man, you had a upkeep trigger there to draw an extra card. Well, you're not going to get that board wipe. The judge will just come over. And I did mess up and talk about like a Paradox Engine or a board wipe or something like that. Those are older cards. They won't be in standard, but a board wipe or a removal spell would be relevant to standard. And you wouldn't get that spell back. You would just get the trigger. I believe they would just have you draw a card right then and there. And if you draw a land, I mean, you technically could have thrown that whole game in that moment because you forgot something as simple as a draw trigger on your upkeep. So I know I'm beating a dead horse here, but that is what separates a good player from a great player, especially a returning player. There's so much that we're already trying to remember and figure out again and get back in the groove of, and it's nerve-wracking. But take a deep breath, take your time, put a reminder on top of your library, and as you go through these phases, pause and look at your cards. Okay, they passed turn. Look at your hand. Okay, did I want to do something at the end of their step? Okay, did I want to do something before I draw? Stuff like that. Do I have an upkeep trigger? Those are huge. And as a returning player, don't be afraid to slow the game down and really think about those particular triggers and things like that, because they are relevant, and that is where I screwed up the most. And a lot of my friends and older friends and newer friends who play Magic, they miss triggers and they can throw the whole game. So food for thought. Now on to the third part of the beginning phase, the draw. That should be self-explanatory. If you're playing something like EDH, Commander, and you have like a Necropotence out or something like that, or a card that affects your draw, really make sure, again, you have something to remind you. But that's the beginning phase. Untap, upkeep, draw. Now you move on to your main phase. Some people call it the pre-combat main phase or main phase one. I just call it main phase. Now, when your main phase comes around, this is the cool part where there's a lot of strategies out there now that you can use with having two main phases at your disposal. Not just the raid triggers and triggers that allow you to do something if you attacked with a creature this turn, but just the subtle strategy you can do to fake out your opponent, to draw them out to counter something, or to draw them out to fog, or kill one of your 1/3 creatures that, you know, has been blocking early game. And let's say you play a land on your main phase and then you move right to attack. Well, they may decide to Vraska's Contempt your, you know, your 1/3, or, you know, even a 3/3 or something like that. And then combat resolves. Now you have your second main phase. Boom, you pop down a 6/6 flying vigilance with hexproof. You know, that wouldn't have happened that way if you hadn't done that. Or a better trick that could happen is if you draw and you're kind of like, ah, oh, man, all right, well, I guess I'll have to move to combat. If you don't play a land on that first main phase, you can kind of fake him out into thinking, hey, maybe he's getting mana screwed. Maybe he has, it's turn three, he has a four, he doesn't have a three drop. And he doesn't have, you know, the mana for it. He only has two lands on play. So, you know, they may, you know, Path to Exile or Vraska's Contempt or something like that. Or your next main phase, you can just drop down the land, play your three drop that you had wanted to. So with the multiple main phases, there's a lot of strategy that you can play with it. Do not be afraid to pay attention to other players you consider a good player or a better player and see how they do it. It's one of those things that kind of happens with practice. And, you know, turning cards sideways and just kind of getting in there and figuring it out. But it is a super, super awesome part of the phases, having the two main phases. So try to put that to your advantage. Don't be afraid to slow roll someone into thinking you're mana screwed or anything like that. Yeah, that's the best advice I can have on that part. Now, for the next phase, combat. So this is hugely relevant in standard. Well, in any format, but I see it mostly in standard. Usually, you know, you get a lot of people that are just there to play Magic and have fun. And there is nothing wrong with that. I'm not ragging on that. But if you utilize and you exercise your knowledge of the combat phase, you will get a lot of use out of it for combat tricks and just being able to affect the board. I'm not saying every time, but I'm saying if you have an answer in your hand or if anything like that, knowing the phase with combat and knowing something as simple as being able to respond when they move to combat. I know I spoke about it earlier, but that's huge. So with this part of it, declare your attack, saying I'm moving to my attack phase. Give them an opportunity to respond. I even ask, especially if they're a newer or inexperienced player, I ask them, do you have a response? The reasoning is because once I declare attackers, I don't want them to cast something that will more than likely affect them or me in a negative way. It's just, it's bad feels all around. So if you have to explain that when you get a little more experience, do it. But pretty much just say, I'm moving to attack. Do you have any response? And then you'll get the, you know, oh, I'm going to bounce this or I'm going to do this. And then you can declare your attackers. And the next step of that is, of course, declare your attacker. So you can say, okay, I'm going to attack with this, this, and this. Do you have a response? So before they declare blockers, I declare attack. I'm moving to attack. Do you have any response? No. Okay. If they don't have a response, you get priority again. Maybe you do have something where you can tap down one of their defenders, you know, something like that. At that point, they can declare blockers. So once blockers are declared, damage isn't automatic. So they declare their blockers. There is now time for responses from both parties. So once they say, okay, I'll defend with this guy, her with him, blah, blah, blah. You both have an opportunity, attacker first, priority first, to say, okay, well, I'm going to bolt this guy. Okay, I'm going to bounce that guy, stuff like that, before damage is ever dealt. So let's say they defend in a way that totally surprises you. You were so sure they were going to chump block your 6/6, but they decide to triple block him to kill him. Took you by surprise and you really don't want to lose your 6/6. So at that point, once they've declared blockers and before damage is dealt, you could say, you know what? I'm going to bounce him back to my hand with this. And you can bounce them back, stuff like that. Then priority goes back to the opponent. They can, you know, counterspell or whatever. But once that has happened, then damage is dealt. A good way to look at it is, okay, I'm going to move to attack. Is there a response? No. Okay, I'm going to attack with my 6-6 and my 2-2 and my 1-1. You, again, any response? No. Okay, move to blockers. Okay, they have three creatures up and it's a 3-3 and another 3-3. You're pretty sure that they're going to block your 6-6 and your, I don't know what I said, 2-2 or 3-3 or whatever, chump block and do that, or even your 6-6 to chump block in your 1-1 so that at least they'll keep a creature on board. But they decide to block with their 2-3-3s your 6-6. Well, if you have a response, you can say, okay, well, before damage is dealt, I'm going to bounce him. And then they've already declared their blockers. So the other two creatures you have, your 2-2 and your 1-1, get to go through and smack them in the face. That is super powerful. And that is something that if you didn't really know that there was a mini step or a mini phase between those, you know, declaring attackers, declaring blockers and damage, you know, it, back in the day, it would just happen. You know, it wasn't so relevant to have these mini phases between, but it's super relevant now, especially in standard. So that is another reason why I wanted to start the podcast with the first episode in phases, because that has saved me a lot of frustration learning that. And I will say I learned it the hard way. So I lost a lot of games because of that. And someone finally took me under their wing. It was another returning planeswalker. And he was like, look, man, you're screwing up. And this is why. You're not really paying attention to the phases. And you're just allowing these triggers to happen without responding and without differentiating between the smaller aspects of the phases. So keep that in mind. When attack comes, you're moving phases. So you're in your first main phase. Move to attackers. Wait for a response, ask for a response. Declare attackers, ask or wait for a response. Blockers are declared, response. Damage is dealt. And once damage is dealt, it's done. And the phase ends, essentially. So super relevant, keep it in mind. All right, so moving on. So you have your post-combat or your second main phase next. Same thing as your first main phase. The only difference is there are some triggers on cards now that are like raid. I'm trying to think of other things, like maybe imminence. If you somehow got another permanent on the field or something like that, you may get the city's blessing or something like that. But raid's a big one. If you attacked and you play a creature, you could get some kind of benefit if a opponent was damaged this turn or attacked this turn. So That's a huge thing. The other part is if you slow rolled someone or you tried to draw them out on a response, you know, to get that counter spell on Vraska's Contempt or removal spell while you were attacking so that you could protect your bigger creature that you really care about or your planeswalker coming in on your second main phase. So second main phase, I rarely play big baddies or big creatures or good cards on the first main phase unless I know my opponent's tapped out. And the reason behind that is a lot of times I like to get to combat because a lot of my decks that I build revolve a little more around not combat tricks, but doing manipulating the deck. So I play Commander most of the time. I have a Amanatu deck. You can look her up. She's a super cool planeswalker legendary creature that you can use as your commander. She does a lot of top deck manipulation. So a lot of times I would like to activate her to get that and then have my combat and then use the two main phases in the combat phase to your advantage. All right, so next on that particular one. So combat phase and post-combat main phase, just talked about it. And then your ending phase. So your ending phase is actually comprised of two parts. So you have your ending phase, which is your end of turn, and then your cleanup. So if a card says end of turn, it happens in the first part of that, and then you have your cleanup. So realize that there are two separate steps. This is where you would discard cards if you have over seven. You know, this is where your end of phase or your end of your turn effects happen. Your end of turn triggers happen, like Necropotence and stuff like that. And then your cleanup. Your cleanup is the absolute last. The other big thing to point out with the end of turn is instants and sorceries can't, or instants and abilities, they can't, during your cleanup, they can't cast instants. It has to be during your end of your turn, part of it, not during your cleanup. So that can be relevant. It's not really relevant very much, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. You know, it's there. So just realize that if you really want to research it, I recommend reading the comprehensive rules again. And it goes more in depth on that, but it's not really something you'll see very often. And it's even talking about it just seems like I'm making more out of it than it is. You just realize your end step is two parts of the phase. There's your end of turn and then your cleanup. Now, you see this a lot in Commander and I guess Standard as well. Pretty much any format you do see it. There are a lot of end of turn moves. So again, I'll go to Commander because that's what I know the most. But Sensei's Divining Top. So a big thing with that is pay one, colorless, and then you get to look at the top three cards of your library and put them back in any order. So a lot of people will say, during your end step, I'm going to top. Or during your end step, I'll spin the top. And then they'll do it. And the reason they do that is because they left that mana open as, I don't want to say a threat, but as a resource that they could access and make you think that they had something going on. And then when nothing happened, whether they were bluffing or whether they really did have a counter spell or something like that in hand, then they just top because nothing else can happen on that end step. So when they say, okay, end of your turn, I'll top. Well, you can't react to that because it's end of turn and instants and stuff like that can't happen. Now, they could say during your cleanup phase, but that's just getting a little too detailed into it. But it's something you'll see often, and it's a very good play. If you leave mana open, either to bluff you have a counterspell or removal or something like that, or board wipe, and you don't need to use it, don't use it. And just, you know, do your other effect end of turn. Okay, well, I'll top end of turn. Okay, I'll create a token end of turn. I'm thinking of Retrofitter Foundry, I think it's called. It's the one where you can tap two and tap it, two colorless and tap it. You create a, I believe it's a 1/1 servo. Well, I use that a lot in my Saheeli deck because I will build servos and turn them into Thopters and turn them into 4/4 constructs. So usually I'll leave that untapped and I'll leave the mana relevant for it untapped. And it's usually one red and one blue that I leave untapped because I can burn spells and counter spells with that. And it's a very big threat. And it's almost like I get a free servo because I have this threat on the board where it's like, okay, my opponent is thinking, I'm not going to cast this Planeswalker because he has two open and more than likely he probably has a counter spell or burn spell. So I'm just going to hold off. And instead of doing a burn or counter spell, I will just create another servo, which is really relevant to my deck. So that's another thing to really consider with your end step is don't be afraid to use your opponent's end step. If you have something on the board that could tap to do something relevant, don't do it just willy-nilly anywhere. Just wait until their end step. And then that way it's almost like you get it for free because they've done all of their actions and all of their trickeries and they have nothing left. So your threat you had in your hand isn't needed and you can do this free thing before you get to untap, upkeep, and draw. Food for thought. This episode did go on a little bit longer than I thought. I hope I covered everything on it. I hope I didn't make it sound too complicated. And if I got something wrong, leave me a comment, let me know, and I can amend it. Other than that, I really do appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate doing this podcast. I really want to just, you know, reach out and start building a community. And I really want to get people coming back to Magic. Share with other returning Planeswalkers of days in yesteryear when it was so much better. But I do love the new phases and the new way Magic is played. So I do miss those nostalgic days, but I do love how Magic has evolved into a more... I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of hazing for this, but I feel it's evolved into a more strategic game and a more logical game, and I love that. And I love creating new stories and... things like that with it. So again, guys, thank you so much for listening. Please like and subscribe. If you get any info out of this that helped you at all, please Click that like button, click the subscribe button, hit me some comments. I'd love to hear from you. And that's it. Shuffle up. Let's play.